going to be now at 412-333-WXDX. Here's the update on the Pierre Olivier Joseph situation with the Penguins. I've been saying, okay, he's 22. He's a former first-round pick. If he's not ready now, what's the problem? Why is POJ practicing with the minor leaguers? Which he is and has been for most of the camp. And somebody whose opinion I value, a Penguin insider, said that POJ is ready. The Penguins just won't make room for him. In other words, Hextall and Burke either won't or might likely can't trade Marcus Pettersson, and Mike Sullivan won't sit Marcus Pettersson to let POJ play. And let me expand from there. Why aren't Poulin and Laguerre practicing with the varsity? And how about Sam Lafferty? We keep hearing the team needs more size and grit, and Lafferty, hey, he's not Battleship Kelly, but Dominic Simone is practicing with the varsity. I could knock Dominic Simone off the puck. Well, okay, at one point I could have, not anymore. But the Penguins need youth. The Penguins need energy. The Penguins need size. The Penguins need toughness. And the Penguins need change. You go in there with the same old team, you're going to get the same old result. It wasn't all that good last year. Forget about the division title. I'm talking about the playoff loss. And don't forget, Geno's out for 2 or 3 months, and Sid is out from somewhere between 4 to 10 games. Now, youth, energy, size, toughness, I don't expect all of the above, but I do expect change. I don't expect the same old, same old. It's very early, and the injuries to Sid and Geno are a killer. But I don't like the way things are shaping up so far. It's too safe and samey. Take a chance, because you're going to be swimming in sewage at the start of the year. Let youth and energy throw you a lifeline. I want hockey calls, 412-333-WXDX. New World Order brought to us by 84 Lumber, your hometown building partner, and by Armstrong, keeping you connected. You know, you are allowed to scratch Pettersson to play POJ. You are. You're allowed to scratch Matheson to play POJ. Those three should be competing for 2 spots, and it should have lasted more than a couple days. That's just, I can't look past that. Sullivan just doesn't trust youth. He just doesn't. And that may be his undoing, or his perceived undoing, because don't forget, this GM didn't hire him in the first place. I'm a big Sullivan fan, but if he thinks same old is going to get through this stretch without Sid and Geno, I'm afraid I've got some bad news. Now, another Penguin insider said that Poulin and Laguerre have not looked good. Lafferty's been terrible. But, and I quote the Penguins insider, Sully has no patience at all with kids. You know how that goes, unquote. Let's go to Max in the North Hills. Max, you're on with Double M.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
What up?
Hey, I just wanted to tell you the process of sitting Shiva is after the death of someone and you mourn for 7 days.
Okay, so that would be Sunday night.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say. I think the process is going to begin on Sunday night.
Maybe even by halftime.
Yeah, I think we're, you know, pretty much there.
How do I pronounce it? Sitting Shiva? Shiva.
Yeah, you could say it however you want, you know.
Oh, I bet our Jewish friends don't feel that way, so Shiva's correctly. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so I just wanted to talk about possibly they've been talking about, you know, actually Cam Newton or Aaron Rodgers coming here. I think Aaron Rodgers would be the best bet. I think
Not going to come here. Okay, you're going to bring in a 38-year-old quarterback and absorb a $46.1 million cap hit. And why would Aaron Rodgers come to Pittsburgh to play behind that offensive line?
Yeah, well, I think after this year, we don't have – I mean, what are our, you know, choices? Rudolph?
Okay, but it ain't Aaron Rodgers. He's not coming here. Tell me you understand that.
Sometimes, I don't know, Mark. I don't understand.
If you think Aaron Rodgers is coming to Pittsburgh, you should sit Shiva for your brain because it's dying as we speak.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you. Doesn't matter how you pronounce it. 412-333-WXDX. Let's go to Jake in Rolla. Jake, you're on with Double M.
Hey, good day, Mark.
I said good day.
Hey, listen, you're talking about the Penguins trying to get ugly. I mean, they shipped the
ugly. I didn't say trying to get ugly. I said trying to get bigger and more physical.
I get that, but when you ship Tanev, you don't protect him.
Tanev sucked. Tanev sucked. I'm tired of us saying how great Tanev was. Tanev was a little guy who played above his size and did it well sometimes, but he got hurt all the time because of it. He was hurt all the friggin' time.
I agree with you on that. I'm just saying, I mean, you talk about playoff hockey. We're not even going to be able to go deep with the left wingers we got.
I don't know if you've noticed it, but they've not gone deep since 2017 when they won the Cup.
Yeah, fair point.
I mean, shouldn't they try something different?
What are they going to do? I mean, you got sit out.
Poulin, Laguerre, Lafferty, POJ, all practicing with the junior varsity while Dominic Savone and Drew O'Connor are practicing with the varsity. And you know what? If Sullivan decides the four names I mentioned aren't good enough to make the team, that's okay. He's the coach, and he's a good one. But it should have taken longer than a couple days.
Fair point, Mark.
Whenever you see guys like, whenever you see, and POJ is the most glaring example. Whenever you see a guy like that put with the junior varsity players after a couple days, and for that matter, Poulin and Laguerre, that means they never had a chance to make the team in the first place. Point blank, never had a chance to make the team in the first place. 412-333-WXDX. I just don't want to trot Dominic Savone out there. And like I said, if Sid thinks he should be on the team, put him on Sid's line. That's one thing I got to say with Sid. Sid always sang the praise to Dominic Savone, and yet he never ended up on his line. I love Sid, but, you know, if you want him, play with him. I mean, I understand Rust and Gensel are better fits, but, you know, it's if you want a guy to be on the team, you should want him to play with you. If you don't want him to play with you, then you shouldn't care whether or not he's on the team. 412-333-WXDX. You know, here's how I think Sunday Steeler game's going to go, and either way is fine by me. And don't forget, I'm a Cal's Canteen in McKeesport. I love McKeesport. Real people. It's a real town. First 10 people wearing McKeesport High School football gear, because I love the Tigers, they get a free Steelers hat. That's at Cal's Cantina for the Packers game. It's going to go one of two ways. The Steelers lose a close one, like 17-13, because the defense plays stout and the offense can't score. I would bet, can I get a bet in somewhere, Rivers Casino, wherever? I would bet the Steelers don't score more than one touchdown on Sunday. Let me rephrase. I would bet the Steelers don't score more than one offensive touchdown on Sunday. So they're either going to lose like 17-13 or they're going to lose 42-7. And Rodgers is going to run wild, dude. I just don't see any way the Steelers can win, and I don't think they're going to lose by like 10. I think it's going to be either a close loss, which, again, if you take some encouragement from that, that shows how far the bar has fallen. Or they get killed. If I had to predict right this second, I'd say they cover the point spread and they lose a close one. But Mr. Friday Afternoon has official say on that. Here's just ridiculous stuff. Mark tweets, why wouldn't Rodgers come to Pittsburgh? He likes Pittsburgh. How do you know he likes Pittsburgh? He likes Tomlin. How do you know he likes Tomlin? What, that crap he said on McAfee? He'd love the D. And look at the problems in Green Bay. He wanted more power and control. The Steelers organization worships the quarterback. You know, shut the frig up, you idiot. We can get a whole new offensive line with the cap space. If you get Aaron Rodgers, the cap space is gone. You used it on a quarterback. You don't need a 38-year-old effing quarterback. It's stupid. And anyone who says it is stupid. And why the frig would he want to come here? Why the frig would he want to come to Pittsburgh? He's going to have his pick of contenders that can go over the top with a quarterback. He can get a Tampa Bay situation like Brady did. This ain't a Tampa Bay situation. It's just not God. You people, are you watching the games? They suck. The Steelers suck. Are you watching it? And you still think, Aaron Rodgers, that's where he would want to go. It's a great franchise. He can jerk off in the shadow of the Rooney statue. For F's sake, are you people stupid? And the answer, of course, is yes. 412-333-WXDX.
Looking for an electrician? Make the switch to CW Electrical Services. CWElectricalServices.com.
This report is sponsored.
He is terrible.
The X at 105.9.
Here's the stuff you just don't get. The Steelers are seen as a haphazard organization, and it's obviously not a good football team. Why would Aaron Rodgers want to come here? Why would any top player want to come here, especially one in the twilight of his career looking for one last run? Seriously, are you people so stupid that you can't see that? This isn't a destination team anymore. People talk about the respect for Tomlin. Rodgers said it's a blue-collar city. It's not a blue-collar city. He doesn't even know enough about a city to know it's not blue-collar. Give me a break. We got Jen Bolano up next talking about she won a bunch of awards. She's the greatest among the on the forefront of women achieving in sports business. So Jen will join us at 4:30. Let's go to Steven in the car. Steven, you're on with Double M.
Mark, what's up?
Hi.
Hey, just about the young guys getting called up, Colleen and Legere. Sullivan literally won a cup with going youth, speed, and skill in 16 and 17.
Yeah, he caught up Rust and Sherry, and then Gensel joined the second year. But here's the difference, Steven. Sullivan coached those guys at Wilkes, so he trusted them. He just, I'm not sure if it's that he doesn't trust young, but he doesn't trust new.
I mean, the production should borderline be irrelevant by those guys because they're not getting production anyway. So he might as well go with the youth, I think.
Well, why'd you draft them if you're never going to use them? And especially, exactly. Let's look past Poulin and Legere. They gave up Phil Kessel to get POJ, and he only gets a chance when a billion guys are hurt. He's 22, and he's a first-round pick. If he's not ready and now, it, either he's effed up or they've effed up.
And he was good last year.
One great. But like,
and he wasn't great, but he was decent for stretches.
This team needs change, and it needs youth. Let's go to Jake in Charlotte. Jake, you're on with Double M.
Hey, Mark. Yeah, I think Rodgers will want to come to the Steelers.
Yeah, you're stupid. Why would he want to come here? Give me one specific reason why he would come here.
Because the organization is so dysfunctional right now, and that's just what Rodgers cares about the most. The play in the field is bad. The coaching is bad. Rodgers will love that.
Okay, you're making zero sense. Zero sense. Why would he want to come to a dysfunctional organization? You're telling me why he wouldn't want to come.
No, I mean, that's just what he craves. Did you see how much fun he was having last time?
Let's go to Paul in Penn Township. Paul, you're on with Double M.
Hi, Mark. I'm going to preface my remarks real quick and say that I have nothing against Dominic Simone. He's probably
I thought you were
going to
preface your remarks with a tracheotomy for a second. Go ahead. Nothing against Dominic Simone.
Okay, he's trying to make a living, and he's probably a good guy. But my issue is after the exits in the first round the last 3 years and all the change coming, here they target as their very first free agent pick, like 30 other teams are coveting them, Dominic Simone. That's their very first selection. And I don't understand
that's a
that.
Sid move.
Yeah, okay, but here's
Sid
my
point. Put him on his line.
Yeah, okay. So now turn the clock back. And I know that a lot of people might disagree with me, but I thought that Daniel Sprong had an awful lot
I disagree
of
with you.
Potential. Well, that's okay, but I think he's going to have a huge year in Washington. But that's
define
not my point.
Huge
point
year.
I think I'll go on record with you right now saying Sprong scores at least 20 goals plus this season. You're playing with Wilson on a regular shift.
Why would he play with Wilson on a regular shift?
That's how they have him. That's how they have him right now. In the
they're both
season.
Right wings.
Well, they have him playing on a line with Wilson. And
they're both right wings. Who's playing the off wing?
I don't know, but if you turn
call
the clock
me back,
back
when you do know
year.
And when the edibles wear off. 412-333-WXDX. Yeah, that Steeler thing, I just don't think you guys understand it's not a destination team anymore. And really, it never had time to be a destination team, never had the chance to be a destination team because they don't sign big-name free agents. But now it's a haphazard organization and a bad football team. What about that don't you understand? Seriously. You think Aaron Rodgers, and I know one of the guys in the B team, who I think is a pretty good radio host, but he says they're going to get Rodgers. They should get Rodgers. And I hear that, and I say to myself, does he really believe that even for a second? Why would he want to come here? Why would they bring – okay, let me ask you this. They bring Rodgers in next year, and he sucks because the team sucks. Won't let him be any good. And then what happens after that? They got to move on from the notion they're a contender. They're not a contender. They're not close to a contender. They're so far from being a contender, they need binoculars to see it. And even then, the image would be fuzzy. They're not a contender. Move on. Rebuild. I know you think it's a bad word, but effing rebuild. We got Jen Bolano up next, the Penguins PR lady here on 105.9.
Clear to partly cloudy skies tonight, dropping down to 46 degrees. More sunshine for our Friday. Look for high of 71.
At 105.9 The X.
Still of the night! Still of the night! Still of the night!
The X at 105.9.
My guest at this time was recently honored by the Sports Business Journal, that's a national publication, as a game changer among women in sports business, and by the Pittsburgh Business Times as a woman of influence. She is the totally awesome director of media relations for the Pittsburgh Penguins. She is Jennifer Bolano Ridgely. Jen, we usually call you to set up an interview with Sid. How come we didn't have to call Sid to set up an interview with you?
That's so funny. I thought about calling in late just to see who you would call if I didn't call on time.
I would have called Sid, and then he would have been mad at, well, me probably. Now, you've been with the Penguins 16 years, and yep. It seems like only yesterday. How did that come to pass in the first place? Because women weren't necessarily very involved with positions like that at that time.
No, I think I was just kind of ignorant to the fact that it wasn't like the normal thing to do. And when I went into it, it was just something I wanted to do. So I pursued it not knowing that maybe that would be a hurdle I had to overcome. And I went to graduate school at Point Park and knew that I wanted to work in hockey in some form or shape. And obviously ran into the famous Tom McMillan at Point Park.
We started
talking. And I applied to be a graduate intern, and I got the position. And it's just been a whirlwind since, to be honest. It's been crazy.
And certainly,
but I only chased it because I loved hockey.
Well, right. And certainly the Penguins were, I mean, it's your hometown team, so it's a natural fit. But I think they probably were more welcoming at that time to a woman doing what you do, maybe than some teams might have been.
No, I say it all the time. The Penguins hired me before it was like the cool thing to do, right? Like, oh, we want to hire a girl. The Penguins hired me, and I was so honored and so happy to join the group. But more importantly, I always say, if I didn't grow up with the players that we have on this team right now, I feel like it would be a whole different ballgame. Like, everyone has been so welcoming and so awesome to me. And, you know, that starts with Sid and Tanger and Gino and Flower. I think even especially now as the years pass, I feel like, you know, young guys come in and they see that I have a great relationship with them, so it helps. But definitely the Penguins were progressive in that, in hiring a female in that role.
Now, you've inspired women to follow what you do. For example, Emma Kilmer, who is on your staff with the Penguins, cites you as the reason she pursued this profession. How does that make you feel?
I love when Emma tells that story. I, she was an intern for a whole semester, and then she wanted to apply to be the graduate assistant, and she didn't tell me this story until after her internship ended. And it was pretty remarkable for me to hear that. And now to make my first hire was a female, was Emma. You know, it's something that came full circle for me, and I just love having her around. She's so fun, and I think it's cool in a sense that, you know, she grew up saying, oh, I want to do what Jen does, but it's also, oh my gosh, how old am I now that that's where I am in my career?
Well, don't expect pity from me, Jen, because I got 20 years on you. Now, you're pretty tough. You've got grit. I've seen you when you're mad. Is that necessary for a woman to do your job? Because, you know, you're in a hockey locker room.
Yeah, I am in a hockey locker room, and, you know, I mean, sometimes I have to be a little more firm than maybe my male counterparts would be, and I don't think that it's necessarily unfair, but I do think that sometimes when I'm agitated, it comes across as like, oh, you know, she's so mean and she's so tough, but if my counterparts did it, they would just be doing their job. You know, sometimes it just comes across as like, I'm emotional, right? I'm the female. And I don't think that's really it. But other than that, I think it's just because you guys like to give me a hard time, too.
Oh, and the players do sometimes, too, Jen. Which brings me to, who have you had to yell at the most? I loved when you would try to get Phil Kessel to do media because he never wanted to. And don't get me wrong, it was a two-way street, even three-way street, because sometimes, well, I wouldn't say we yelled at him, but he'd yell at us, that's for sure. But what was that relationship like? Because it was more love than hate, but it was funny.
Yeah, no, Phil and I had a great relationship. He was behind the scenes. Phil is probably one of the funniest and just genuine guys that you'll meet. He's so honest about everything. And I mean, he'll tell you he only wants to play hockey. You know, he doesn't want to do media, but that wasn't an option in Pittsburgh, especially when you have the likes of Sidney Crosby sitting there doing interviews every day, day after day. So there was a few times where, you know, Phil let me know that we weren't friends anymore. And, you know, that was it, because I would make him talk or force his hand. But I think at the end of the day, we're still friends. And he actually just did an interview for In the Room about how much he disliked the behind the scenes show. So I think I still have a little bit of pull with him. And I think at the end of the day, he knows that everything we asked him to do was always in his best interest. But I will tell you, the funniest part of Phil is he would always, you know, he was just, I don't know what it is, if it's his luck or what, or his fortune, but he would become memes and he would become like the butt of jokes. And it was simply because of like him being himself, but he would get so mad at me, like I did it. Phil, I didn't do anything.
Well, he's in Arizona now. That's the perfect place, because nobody really pays attention to the team. Now, how do the players in general respond to a woman in that job? And how was it the beginning of your tenure when it was a foreign concept, not only to them, but kind of in general?
You know, I always tell this story. The first day I went into the locker room, I didn't know anyone. And the director at the time wasn't there that day. And it was the first time I had to go in. And Ray Shiro told me sink or swim. And I went in and I was walking around introducing myself, like legitimately. Sid, hi, my name's Jen. You know, so-and-so is not here today. He told me you have this to do. And same thing, like flower, like, oh, Marc-Andre, my name's Jen. And later that night, I got a text from the director at the time, and he said, Sid said, stop being so polite to the players. Because I was, like, scared to death. I didn't know how to talk to them, what to say.
And you grew up as a fan, too, and that's a tough transition, I would guess. I mean, not just for you. I mean, the first time I went in the room, I was, like, 20 years old. I'm like, I got him in the Penguins' room. Luckily, we were terrible.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it too, right? I'm like the same age as them, and I'm in there thinking, what are they thinking right now? Who is this girl, you know, that's coming into the room? And I had a post-it note that had things that that certain guys were supposed to do. I remember WTAE was there filming Project Bundle Up commercials, and you know, I'm asking guys to do this, and Flower kept reading it, you know, 412, whatever, 123, and he kept saying WTA. And I was being so nice, right? Like, no, it's actually WTAE. And he's like, WTA. And I'm like, no, can we do it one more time? Like, and now to think about it, I would be like, are you kidding me? It's four letters. It's not a word. Like,
well, there's usually another word mixed totally in there when different. You say, are you kidding me? But that's another story.
All right.
Has any player really given you a hard time? If it's happened, I don't recall it. You don't need to name names if so, but I don't remember that or have been told that.
No, I feel like the only players that ever gave a hard time, it had nothing to do with whether it was like myself or Jason or Evan or Emma. It was just guys that don't like doing media. You know what I mean? It's never been a personal thing. So I honestly could say we've had almost a unanimous group of wonderful guys walk through our locker room.
We're talking to Jen Bilano, the Penguins PR lady, won mega awards. You're listening to 105.9 The X. What advice would you give to women who want to enter your profession, or really anybody of any sex, Jen? I know you had been, I'm not sure if you still do, you were teaching classes at Point Park.
Yeah, I was teaching. I didn't teach during the pandemic, and now I'm actually not teaching this fall because I just kind of needed to step away and see what's going to happen this year with everything and how it's going to go. But, I mean, my biggest thing to women is that are looking to get into sports, I just feel like if you worry about that being a disadvantage, it's going to be one. You know, for me, I may have been ignorant. I may have had a blind eye to the fact that it was so male-dominated. But, you know, it served me well in that sense that I didn't worry about it. I didn't think about it. I just thought, like, if I could show that I could do the best job and I could do a good job, I could do what I wanted to do. And that's what happened. And I think that's the best advice you could give someone, like, stop thinking of yourself as different.
What do these awards mean to you? I don't really imagine you wallowing in the glory, per se. But it's a big deal,
no.
Especially the national one.
You know that this is totally not me, and the attention has been a little too much this week, to be honest with you. But I am really proud, especially the Sports Business Journal one, especially the Pittsburgh Business Times. I mean, those two are both great honors. You know, the Business Times, to be picked out of 50 nationally is, you know, I read that article every year looking like, oh, wow, I wonder how they got there. I wonder how they've done this. And I'd like to meet this person. And I do think it's pretty cool to be up there and to be recognized with them. And I'm excited to go to New York and meet some of the people that I'll be recognized with. But you know me, the team does the heavy lifting. I get to be the funny one and the one that's the sweet talker, getting everyone to do everything for the behind the scenes shows and the broadcast. But the heavy lifting is the Jasons, the Evans, and the Emma, and I don't ever take that lightly.
I disagree, Jen. I would also disagree that
you're always
a sweet talker as well. Now, what was it like doing your job during the pandemic? When's the last time you saw Sid in person as opposed to on Zoom? Have you seen Sid up close since camp started?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We went to Chicago for a player media tour the second week in September, and we flew together, and we spent the whole day and talked a lot. He did a ton of interviews, so yes, I've seen him in person. He's good. He looks good. He's ready.
Is he a germaphobe? Is he like still wearing the mask? Is he like crazy about stuff like that? Because I could see that.
No, he's realistic. He's been, you know, they're vaccinated. We're following the protocols, but he's not acting any different than anyone else.
So still just a little.
How do you say that? But no.
Now, what's the protocol now for the media talking to the players? I should know that, but I don't.
So it's a lot of it's up to the team discretion. You guys are allowed to interview them in person. You do have to show us proof of vaccination and be masked. Those are the two variables. But if you do those two things, then there's not the 6-foot barrier. Not that you can sit on their laps, but you know, you could be very close to them.
I never sit on their laps anyway, Jen. No, I have a Giant Eagle Club card. Would that be good enough?
No, that wouldn't.
Darn it. Now, Jen, here's where the interview turns humorous, because is it fair to say that I'm your favorite of the hockey media? And let me say, that's like being the smartest guy in prison, but I'm your favorite, correct? You can admit it.
You're up there.
Oh, I got to be number one. Don't put me in a...
If you think I would ever give you that satisfaction...
I know it's true. I know it's true. Now, can we talk about who you hate?
No.
Okay, good. Now,
I don't hate anyone.
I know you don't. You're too sweet and loving for that. Now, you're from Newcastle. With these awards, will there be a parade in Newcastle? You've won 3 cups. You've got these awards. Did you ever take the cup to Newcastle, and will there be a parade in Newcastle for this?
I don't anticipate a parade. I know I've never brought the cup to Newcastle because, and I'll tell you this, I have never had it for a full day.
Okay, you like split the days.
Yes. So if I get it for like 8 hours, it's just a lot to bring it there and bring it back. And,
right.
But I will say, if we ever win a 4th cup, I've already decided I'm taking it to Penn State. That would be my dream, to take it to Penn State. And I haven't had enough time to do that either.
Yeah, you could take it to a football game. They haven't seen the trophy in a long time.
Oh, come on. Don't go there.
Now, I have proposed, and you know this from Twitter, I proposed a statue of Jennifer Bolano originally in the town square at Newcastle. What's that hot dog place?
P.O. Lunch.
Yeah, right next to the hot dog place. How can we make that happen? A Jennifer Bolano originally statue in Newcastle.
I don't think, I think if you really know me, you know that would never happen.
Which is why it has to happen. It's not always up
it
to you, Jen.
It will never
you think
happen.
Mario didn't want that statue, and it's there anyway.
Well, then you need to talk to Tom, I guess.
Okay, I'm gonna go straight to Newcastle. They love me up there, Coach Lauro. I mean, you're the former head cheerleader, for God's sakes.
Oh my gosh!
What? Come on! What is that? Something I shouldn't have said?
No, it's just funny. It's just funny that you love talking about the Newcastle. I love Newcastle.
I love Jen. Seriously, we've talked about this. I covered God knows how many football games at Newcastle. You know, it's a great town. It really is.
Well, let's be honest. If I didn't go to Newcastle, who knows if my love for athletics would be the way it was. But, I mean, the teams were so good when I was in high school, and I'm a cheerleader, obviously. I loved sports. I loved being around them. And, you know, my parents started taking me to hockey games when I was young through my dad's work. And I mean, I loved sports. I knew that no matter what, I wanted to work in sports, which is so funny because that's like my cliche. I hate when people that want to work in sports tell me, I just want to work in sports. Because I'm like, well, what do you want to do in sports? There's a lot of things. But I was that way. I knew that I wanted to do something in sports. I just didn't know what.
And might I add, Jen's parents love me and will admit it even if she won't.
They will. They will. They're listening, I'm sure. They listen every day. They tell me what you say.
See, there you go. Jen, this has been great. Again, sincerely, congratulations. It's a really big deal, and no one deserves it more.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
That is the great Jen Bellano originally. And Jen, I need players on the show, like, soon, all right? That's Jen Bellano. And seriously, congratulations to her. I've worked with a ton of PR people. She is numero uno head honcho in my book. A quick update. Apparently, Juju Smith-Schuster is extremely limited in practice. Not doing much at all. The ribs are a hell of a long way from the heart, you candy ass. And a new addition to the injury list, Chase Claypool with the hamstring. Watch, look at all the defensive players back, and they won't have any receivers for Green Bay. Thanks to Jen for joining us. We got Bill Hillgrove next hour. We're going to talk at length next hour, too, about the Super Bowl in October. New England against Tampa Bay. Brady goes back home to Foxborough. I guess they're not going to have a pregame ceremony, although nobody will say that for sure. I think they don't want to say they're not, but it doesn't sound like they are. I don't know, maybe a video package, but it's the Super Bowl in October, and it will disappoint, just like the Super Bowl in February so often does. It's the Mark Madden Show at 105.90X.
Our 2021 iHeartRadio Music Festival, the ultimate once-in-a-lifetime music event, is coming to the CW.
Let's get it started.
The biggest stars.
I'll say, and then some.
The X at 105.9.
We like it, we love it, and we're going to have more of it. The Tag Fight. Of letting me live, because pal, in Baltimore, Maryland, I own you tonight. But hey, you, my friend, are going to bleed and sweat and pay the price, because there is one world heavyweight wrestling champion, buddy.
Double M on the X. Everybody's been talking about that 4th-and-1 call at the Cincinnati 11. Matt Canada spoke today. He really didn't say anything of consequence like every other Steeler coach. But that call, that absurd pass in the flat to Najee that lost the yard on 4th-and-1 at the Cincinnati 11, it didn't lose the game. It just didn't. That game was long since lost. What suck has got to know is, who made the call? Was it Canada? Was it Ben? Was it Tomlin? The Steelers always talk about groupthink, making a decision as a team. But they don't really use groupthink. That's just designed to avoid anyone getting blamed. I want to know, who made the call on that play? On ESPN this morning, Greeny and the gang were wondering if the Steelers season was over. And that's what we're all wondering. On the basis of it being week 4, you'd have to say no. But on the basis of what we're seeing, the eye test, you could say yes. They were also wondering if Ben is done, and Damian Woody said yes, and Bart Scott said no. Bart Scott noted that Ben doesn't get the credit he deserves, and that's right. Ben doesn't, especially not here in Pittsburgh, where he's won 2 rings. And with that in mind, let's consider this tweet I got. Ed tweets, "It's truly beyond amazing that the Steeler fan base has thrown Big Ben under the bus like old trash. Zero positive vibes, zero hope that if he is injured, he gets back in the lineup and has a great season. Truly appalled by the comments about him." Well, Ed is right on the money here. Tweets brought to you by Labatt Blue Light Seltzer. It's a small minority of fans, but it's the majority on Twitter, and it is very vocal. Ben's the best quarterback in Steelers history, better than Bradshaw, and he's one of the 2 or 3 most important players in franchise history. Ben is struggling a great deal, no doubt. And while that can be criticized, it should not be made light of and should not be wallowed in. Bart Scott said the Steelers have got to get back to Steeler football, to running the ball. He said it over and over again. Got to run the ball. Got to do what the Steelers do. Yo, Bart, where you been? They like to run the ball, but they just can't. The owner said we're making a commitment to running the ball, but they can't do it. The commitment isn't even there. Greeny said that. He said they've not been able to run the ball in over 2 years. Yo, when you throw the ball 58 times, you're in trouble, just like last season. I did something weird today. I was out of milk, so I poured Coffee Mate on my cereal. Sweet Italian cream. No Splenda needed. It was actually pretty good. There's no law against that, is there? Up next, we're going to look at the Super Bowl in October. It's the Mark Madden Show, 105.9 The X.
It's Abby.
Is this considered dwelling?
To
the FCC, do you think?
But I don't think Booger.